Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by our friends at Middle Tennessee Electric, and they want to remind you their internet company is United Communications, and they deliver fast, 99.99% reliable fiber internet to homes and businesses. Learn more at mte.com/internet. Well, today we are joined in studio by our friends from the Child Advocacy Center, and Presley Hosford comes in, you know, every month, and she and her running mate, Krista, you know, they cause all kinds of, you know, just rebel rousing here at the station. And but we've got to be on our best behavior today.
Oh, yes. We have Sharon DeVore, our executive director, with us. So no goofing off today.
None. Sharon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. It is always good to see you. I know you stay busy, but gosh, I just want to tell you, from the chances that we've had to talk to really all of your staff, you've got an A1 team for sure.
We have an incredible team. I think it's the very best team I've ever worked with in the last 25 years.
25? It can't be.
It's 25 years, and I am so proud of them. They do such a good job every day.
Yeah. You have been the executive director. How many of those 25?
All 25.
Yeah, all 25. And look at where we are now.
Yes, absolutely.
What was that like initially? I know that former District Attorney General Bill Watzel was very instrumental, and others instrumental in, you know, the CAC is something we need here. But maybe kind of tell us what it was like before it even started and in the process you had to go through.
Well, it was so interesting because I got recruited by Marlene Hall, who was the assistant chief in Laverne. And we were at the Women's Political Caucus in Nashville at the Good Guys Awards, watching two of our friends get awards. And we were sitting next to each other, and I had taken some time off to be home with my baby, my little girl. I have four children, and I have three boys and my little girl. And so I was home with her, and she had told me that day that when she grew up, she was going to be a boy, and she was going to play sports and go to school, because she was 3 years old. And Marlene said, it's time for you to go back to work, put her in daycare, and sign that child up for soccer. And that's exactly what I did.
Is that right?
The next day, Marlene called me, and she said, I am looking through resumes for this new child advocacy center that we're creating. And she was working with General Weitzel and Elizabeth Parker and lots of people in the community on this.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm looking at all these resumes, and nobody could do this job better than you. She said, will you apply? And I said, absolutely. When do you want a resume by? Next week? She said, noon today. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. And I said, okay, I'll get you a resume and cover letter and email it to you before your meeting.
And how did you have to hurry and put that together, I would think,
oh,
right?
Yeah, I didn't have anything together. I just, you know, threw together a resume and a cover letter. And I tell you what, when I met that team, it was that who were interviewing. It was General Weitzel and his ADA, Paul Holcomb, and Beth Parker, who was one of the founding board members, and Marlene Hall. And when I heard them talk about what they wanted to do in this community, I was really impressed, because I knew with their convictions, we would do it. And so I was very excited. And they called me the next day and hired me.
That's wild.
It was wild.
Presley, how old were you 25 years ago?
I was born 25 years ago.
Yeah. That's what I knew. But, you know, it's to hear some of that just from your perspective and knowing what you know, I mean, your whole life, your whole career, it's you've known what the CAC is and what it stands for, and it's been here, but you know, we lived in a time when it wasn't. So
no, yeah,
you know, it's important to look back at your history, but also, you know, look forward to what you're going to accomplish in the next 25.
And I would love to be here along the way, however long I can. And I get so excited hearing Sharon talk about how they built the CAC and what it is today, and feel so honored I get to be a part of that. And so as you were growing this organization, I was growing into a young adult, and I feel like you've shaped me a little of the way that, you know, it's been almost 4 years I've been at the CAC, and even from that timeline, I have seen it grow so much, and I hope that we can continue to just care for the community and children and families more and more every day. And we do have such an amazing team, and I love being a part of it.
Presley started out with us as an MTSU student intern, and we have several employees that started out as MTSU student interns.
Yeah, and you start them out young. You've got kind of a youth movement going through the CAC, so that's good.
Yeah, we have a very diverse age group of employees.
Yeah, I have learned from my 26-year-old son and my 22-year-old daughter, you know, they look at the world a little different than what we do. And it's good to have all perspectives.
Absolutely.
When you're doing the work you're doing.
Absolutely. Because anytime we have to problem solve, when you have that diversity of ages, you get so much better suggestions and results.
So the 25th anniversary, was it founded in August?
In September?
September?
Of 2000.
Okay. September of 2000. Mm-hmm. So
we're a little early.
coming up in August, you've got something special, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Well, tell us
about
it.
So our 25th anniversary celebration will be at the Rutherford County Chamber, and we are really excited about it. We are hoping that all the board members, CIPET team members, families we've served will all come back for the celebration.
Now, Take us back to those first few years. I mean, did they tell you, hey, this is going to be, it's just you for now, Sharon, or how did that work?
They hired me, and I was the only employee. Yeah. And what I did immediately was start writing grants to try to get more employees so I'd have help.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of overwhelming at first. And we probably served maybe 20 people a month. Well, now we're interviewing probably closer to 80 or 90 kids that we see come through the Child Protective Investigative Team every month. It's just really grown.
So 20 a month to like 20 a week or more.
Well, actually, it was probably 10 to 20. 20 was probably a good month, you know?
Yeah. Did you do some of that in the beginning?
Yes, I did. I did a lot of the direct services to children and families in the beginning.
Yeah, I guess you had to.
Yeah, we didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
And I tell you what I found that some of the very best people in Murfreesboro work on the Child Protective Investigative Team. They're at Department of Children's Services, law enforcement, the district attorney's office, our kids' medical, volunteer behavioral health. You know, some of the very best people in this community are helping children and families every day.
I bet some of those weren't even around at that time, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, some of those groups and services. So I think it's safe to say that not only Rutherford County, but the state of Tennessee has done many things in the last 25 years to try to protect children.
Absolutely. We've changed a lot of laws and done a lot of things legislatively. And I really feel like we're very blessed in Rutherford County because we have good leadership. We have the police chiefs, the sheriff, the DCS team leaders, the district attorney, all of those key people are really outstanding people that make a difference every day. And what we found is they assign some of the best, brightest, and most kind-hearted people to work our cases.
Well, and that's who you want working with your kids, right?
Yes, absolutely. But they give us their very best, and we're very grateful for that because it's helped us help families, you know, help children heal from the trauma, help families rebuild their shattered lives. And what it's really helped do is aggressively prosecute offenders.
Yeah.
And I think I would put our district attorney's office and their prosecution team and the rest of our CIPET team with DCS, law enforcement, and the CAC, I would put them up against any child protective investigative team in the state. I think we have the best. Mm-hmm. And I think we're aggressively prosecuting pedophiles in Rutherford County. And if you're a pedophile here, you need to move because they're going to find you and arrest you and you're going to be prosecuted.
Yeah. It takes that teamwork, but your focus is really on the child.
Absolutely. We are a very child-focused organization. We look at everything in terms of how it's going to impact that child. Even things as simple as what piece of furniture are we going to put in that interview room? I took my daughter when she was a little girl 1 year, and we picked out a couch that was her size to put in our forensic interview room so that she felt comfortable in it because she was little, you know.
Yeah. one of the things that I'm sure has changed is the education arm of what you do with Darkness to Light. That's a pretty special part of the CAC as well.
Absolutely. We are very proud of our Darkness to Light. One of the things that we're trying to do is put ourselves out of business. So if we can train every parent, grandparent, and professional who works with children in this community to how to recognize a potential threat to children, and it's hard. I mean, pedophiles don't have a tattoo on their forehead that says, I'm a pedophile and I'm going to hurt your little kid, you know. They're very deceptive, and so it's really important. All the work that Presley has done for us has been really important, teaching parents how to recognize the signs and symptoms in children once it's happened, but more importantly, how to prevent it from happening in the first place.
Yeah.
Nobody wants their little child to be harmed, you know.
In your 4 years, Presley, do you have any idea how many, well, people or Darkness to Light trainings that you've done?
Well, this fiscal year, I've trained over 1,000. We did 1,134 adults that attended the prevention education training. And so I'd say over 4,000, close to 4,000 lives. And saying that out loud, I don't think I've said that number out loud, and it really is astonishing. But every single adult who has taken this training is now better equipped to protect the children in their lives, how to recognize the signs, and just keep our community a safer place for our children to learn and grow and play. And I think it's a beautiful thing because prevention is essential. It shouldn't be optional. And I think it's a great way for the community to come together and say, hey, we care about everyone. We want to stand by everyone and make sure that we are doing our very best job to safeguard the well-being of all the children in this county.
Absolutely.
Joining us today from the Child Advocacy Center, Sharon DeBoer, the Executive Director, Presley Hosford, here with us as well. And Presley, I would think that coming up on the start of a new school year, you know, a lot of churches begin their small groups and things of that nature during this time. Do things kind of ramp up for you once school gets started in terms of trainings, or are you pretty much booked?
Summer is kind of hard because everyone's on vacation, school is out. But yes, once school is starting, we'll see it. Things to start to be a little busier. But one thing we've seen is that our numbers have really been the same throughout the summer, which shows that prevention education does work. And that adults are being aware and reporting. But yes, if you get a call from me, answer it. I'd love to talk to you and, you know, join hands and how we can keep our kiddos safe.
You know, I know in previous years we've talked about how the numbers do go down in terms of the numbers that are reported, but you just mentioned a pretty key thing, that the numbers really haven't gone down.
No, not really, because we do see that teachers are our number one reporters of abuse. So when kiddos are going back to school, they're with their trusted adult again. They're disclosing to their teachers, or the teachers are noticing signs and symptoms. But I think because we have had such great turnout with the Darkness to Light training, we have folks every day reporting their suspicions. And so we've been pretty steady with our forensic interviews. And we will see the numbers go up before they go down.
Yeah, I was just going to say, August is in September, I'm sure we'll probably see that spike just a little bit. But, you know, Sharon, 25 years, who would have thought we would be here at this point in the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, the next 25, we're going to see a lot of change, not only here in Rutherford County. We could be close to 500,000 people here, you know, in the next 25 years.
And that's one of the things for us we're really looking closely at is our numbers are increasing every year. Mm-hmm. As the population increases, our number of children that we're serving increases. And so that's something our board of directors and staff are really looking closely at, because the facility we're in is about 1,800 square feet. And so that's not enough room for what we currently have for staff. Yeah. We have this incredible grant writer who wrote $3.5 million worth of grants in the last 10 months. And what we're finding is we're starting to get those grants funded, and we found out this last week that we're going to get a $1 million grant for drug endangered children. That'll be $1 million over 3 years. And we're really excited about it because there are a lot of people in this community using alcohol and drugs in front of their children that have a problem with that and need help.
Yeah.
And so we're real excited about it. But the other thing for us is it's important to help parents stop using alcohol and drugs when they have a problem with those things. But it's also important to break that generational cycle of addiction with children. And so we work really closely with those children too to try to help them understand, you know, that they're, you know, that you ruin your life with alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm. So with that, with grants, with community support, it's no secret that you need much more. I mean, we're in 2,200 square feet. It doesn't seem like it because it's long and narrow, but
you're in bigger square feet than we are.
I know,
and we're seeing 2,000 people a year.
That's crazy. So that's something that I know your board, the community members that are engaged with the CAC, they know that needs to happen. So there's a lot of work going on. So
a lot of work behind the scenes. And I'm very grateful to the people that are working on this issue.
This 25th anniversary year, hopefully, will bring about big change in terms of that and really stabilizing the future of the CAC in terms of building and all that.
Yes, that's what I'd love to see when I retire, that we have a facility that's big enough to meet the needs of the community.
Well, we've got to get to the 50th anniversary before that happens.
You and I aren't going to make it to 50th.
Well, you're probably right about that. Another
well,
50.
Maybe you will, but I don't know.
I don't know. I'll my earlobes will be down to my feet, you know, by that point, because I think your ears never stop growing. So
I've heard that.
I'd be 101.
Okay. Yeah. You might still be kicking.
Well,
we'll see.
I don't know if I'll be kicking or not. It'll be hard to kick anything. But August 11th is this ribbon cutting. Is it not a ribbon cutting, but kind of?
No, it's our celebration. We're going to celebrate our 25th anniversary, and it'll be at the Chamber. They've been gracious to let us host it at the Chamber, and there'll be drinks and food, and so it should be a lot of fun. There'll be speakers, and we're excited.
What time on the 11th?
It'll be from 4 to 5:30. So okay, we're doing it a little early, you know.
That way
it's
you
during
can,
the school year. You got to get home and get your kids fed and,
yeah,
you know,
and
baths.
Go to soccer maybe or whatever.
Yes. So, homework and baths and all those things that happen after school.
It's a wild time with school going on. So we'll remind folks about this and hopefully have a big turnout at the Chamber. And Sharon, always good to see you.
Great
Presley,
to see you.
As always, thanks for coming in. And, you know, when you see Carista, tell her, you know, hard act to follow when she comes in next month.
I know. I'll warn her. But yeah, it's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Absolutely. Our friends from the Child Advocacy Center joining today. Sharon DeBoer, the executive director, and Presley Hosford. The podcast will be up shortly. Be sure to check that out at WGNSradio.com.